everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live every day to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we'd love to talk about it with you. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. The lines are wide open. You know, the Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to stay tuned to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. One of the things that we experience often is this feeling that God is a million miles away, that he's just so far out there, that he's not involved with us, he's not interested in us. We just come onto that feeling time and time again in life. And I think that's where the Christmas story gives us a powerful answer that, yes, God was separated from us, sin caused that separation, but in Christ we've been brought near. He has come near to us. That is the wonder of the Christmas story, God with us. You shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when we come to him by faith, we truly do have God with us in the form of the Holy Spirit. He comes to live inside of us. So no matter what our feelings are, that he may be 1,000 miles away, the truth is he's right there. He's right inside of us, and he's always doing his work in us. He's always loving us. He's always teaching us truth. He's always taking the things of the Lord Jesus and making them known to us. That's why this Christmas story is such a story of hope, because that gap, that distance that was between us has now been bridged, and we can truly live in his presence, and he can be in our presence. That's why I like the book of John so much, and especially this opening chapter. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God sent Jesus in the form of a babe who grew up. He lived among his people back then. He was crucified, buried, resurrected, ascended into heaven. He was given the Spirit. He gave the Spirit to us, and he has come to live inside of us on an everyday basis. That is incredible, incredible news. It's actually mind-boggling to think that the God of this universe lives inside of me. So now, no matter what I feel, you know, I may feel that he's a million miles away, the truth is he can never be closer than where he is right now.
Absolutely. Well, that is Basic Gospel, and you've tuned to Basic Gospel, everybody, in open lines, so that you can come in and be a part of this edition at 1-800-677-9377. That, of course, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Guys, a question from June, who writes to us from Salinas, California, says, what does 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2 mean? He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, no longer to live out the will of the flesh. Does it talk of God's refinement process, which points us in the right direction when we make proper choices? Please explain, and thank you. That's from June in Salinas, California.
Well, we live in a world that is constantly tugging at us, trying to draw us back into its system, and sin is a part of that. And so he's just simply saying, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves with that same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. Jesus Christ came to do the will of his Father. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, not my will, but yours be done. He was saying, Lord, if there's any other way, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. And so I think it's attaching us to that same attitude, that we should say it's not our will, but it's God's. And he goes on to say that as a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. That's a choice that we make. When we were lost, we lived to carry out evil human desires. We cherished those things. We wanted to do those things, but it led us to death. It led us to a point where we were miserable. And then that gospel message hit our hearts. We responded by faith. We went from death to life. The Spirit came to live inside of us, and now we have a new set of desires. And those desires are aligned to the will of God. So we make the choice. I want to live out the will of God for my life. I want that to be coming through me and going out of me. I no longer want to live for earthly or evil human desires. That's all this passage is saying.
Well, we hope that's been a help to you. And for those of you who can't get to the phone during the live edition of Basic Gospel, we encourage you to drop us an email if you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss. You can find the link right there at the homepage on at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. We'd love to address your question on a later edition of the broadcast. Right now, we're going to address Joe's right after I give the number, 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. Want to hear from you. Plenty of time, 1-800-677-9377. Now from Joe, who writes to us from Georgetown, Texas, says, as a believer, I know that I'm not under the law. However, how can I best explain Galatians 5:19-21 regarding the works of the flesh if I'm still struggling with them and practice them? According to these verses, does it mean that I will not inherit the kingdom of God? That's from Joe in Georgetown, Texas.
Well, that's a wonderful question, and it certainly can be taken in the wrong way when you read that passage. And you think, oh no, if I tell a lie or if I do any of these things on this list, then I'm going to lose my salvation. But that's not what this passage is talking about at all, Richard, is it?
No. I mean, there's a key. Who live like this, that's what he's describing. All of this terrible list of things is, I warn you as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. People who live like this, the whole direction of their lives is toward this stuff. They have rejected God. And he's making a clear offer. You can live like this, or you can accept Jesus and receive the fruit of the Spirit, against which there is no law. You can live by faith in Jesus instead of by sight in the world system.
Right.
It's just a really nice contrast. Shouldn't be afraid of it.
No, shouldn't be afraid of it at all. And it says the acts of the sinful nature, of the acts of the flesh.
Yes.
Well, if we're in Christ, we're no longer in the flesh. We're in
Correct.
The Spirit. That's what Paul writes about in Romans 8. And that's a key distinctive. So in Paul's mind, when he is saying the acts of the flesh, he's talking about a lost person. Uh-huh. When he's talking about us being led by the Spirit, he's talking about a saved person. So why, as a saved person, would you want to go back and do the deeds of the lost world? And it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You were redeemed. You were rescued. You were snatched out of that way of life so that you could live a brand new life. So that's all this is. So when the flesh kind of rears its ugly head and tries to pull you back into your old way of thinking, your old way of acting, your old way of feeling, just say, hold on, that's not who I am anymore.
Uh-huh.
I have been saved, I have been redeemed, I have been bought with a price, and God has put new desires in my heart, and I want to live out those, and I'm going to do so by walking in the Spirit.
Yeah. Again, open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Don't let this opportunity pass by. If you had a question you've been holding on to and have not had an opportunity to pose it, why, we encourage you to get on that phone right now. 1-800-677-9377. Something special for you.
Yes, indeed. I want to encourage you right now to go to our website, basicgospel.net, and make a contribution to the ministry, and we want to send you a special thank you gift for doing so, and that's this booklet, Forgiveness, The Door to Life. This is the most critical issue I think Christians face, is this forgiveness issue. Most folks are asking the question, am I forgiven or am I not? And that's huge. That's what keeps people up at night. That's what makes us anxious. That's what confuses us, not knowing if we are or if we're not. Well, Christ wants to settle that for us. He wants us to know with full assurance of faith that our sins have been dealt with once and for all. I mean, the Bible is very clear. Every single writer in the New Testament addresses that issue, and they address it very clearly. If you've received Christ, you have received forgiveness of sins. That's what Peter said in the book of Acts. And then Paul echoed that same thing later on in the book of Acts. And then you go into the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians, and you see these wonderful passages that say, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We see another passage where it says that, when we were dead in the uncircumcision of our sinful nature, God made us alive. He forgave all our sins. Pretty clear statement. And then John, in his first letter, writes this: my children, I write to you because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. The message is so clear, so black and white, but we cloud it over with all sorts of grays. And God says, I want to get rid of the gray. I want you to just see this clearly, and I want you to rest in it. I want you to know that your sins have been forgiven and that you stand before me as a forgiven person. That's what this book is all about. It identifies some of the thinking that we have in relationship to our sins and the things that we do. And it really lays out what God has done for us in regards to those sins. So it is a powerful, powerful little resource. We want to put it into your hands. So we encourage you to go to our website, basicgospel.net, click the support link, make a contribution of any amount, and we will get this to you as quickly as we can. And this is one of those resources you will read it again, and then you'll read it again, and then you'll say, I know 15 other people that need this little booklet. You'll start ordering more of these and start passing them out. So take advantage of this. We want you to have it. It's a very important resource.
Forgiveness, the door to life. Use for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. You can call and speak with our operator to request your copy and make your gift right now at 1-800-727-2828. Again, 1-800-727-2828. Or as Bob said, go to our website, basicgospel.net.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go talk to Spencer, listening to us in Olivia, North Carolina. Hi, Spencer.
With a B, Olivia.
Okay.
I am doing good. Great, brother. I listen to you almost every day.
Wonderful.
Yeah, Bob. Very, very interesting, and I just love the topic. Sometimes I'm quick. After 40, I'm still amazed at God's grace that I have learned that be cannot enjoy the grace of God as long as we're clinging to the law. Law is a hindrance, really, to the freedoms that Christ offers. And with that, your callers and the folks who have questions concerning that, my encouragement to them is trust God. You say, how do you do that? You read the scriptures. You study the scriptures. Apply the scriptures. The application of those scriptures and the results of that application can be your interpretation. You will find that it works every time. It's not a hit and miss. It works every time. I so appreciate you guys on here, and just constantly, you just never falter. You just never falter. You're always there.
Well, thank you.
Have a great day, a Merry Christmas, and I just enjoy your program.
You do as well, and thanks for those kind words.
Yes,
and
thank you so
boy,
much.
Does Spencer bring up a key point as far as the Christian life is concerned. If you're clinging to the law, you will never enjoy the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And the reason you're clinging to the law is because you think you can actually live up to it.
Yes.
That's pride. And you're not going to receive the grace of God when you're holding on to a spirit of pride.
Yeah.
There are so many folks who say, I know I didn't do it yesterday. I gave it my best, but I fell flat on my face. But by golly, I know I have it in me. So today I'm going to do my best. And I think today I'm going to succeed. I think today I'm going to live up to all 10 of those. I mean, every single one of them. And then Jesus at the end of the day will say, okay, how'd you do?
Yeah, how are you doing?
Not so good. Not so good. And it's like, well, are you ready to let go of that and let me lead you? Are you ready to put self-effort behind you and pick up faith in me? That's the deal. And we just keep saying no to that. We just keep wanting to prove God wrong, that we do have what it takes to live up to those righteous requirements of the law. But that is a total deception, because you're not understanding truth. Under the law, sin is the master.
Yes.
Sin is in control. Is sin ever going to lead you to righteous acts? No. Sin is going to lead you to sin, period, end of story. That's just the way it is. A sinful root is going to produce a sinful fruit. But in Christ, we have a righteous root, Christ himself. And if we will abide in him, guess what we're going to see? The fruits of righteousness in our lives. So the message of the Bible is to let go of self-effort. Just drop it, set it aside so that you can pick up faith in Jesus and allow him to do in and through you only what he can do in and through you.
Yeah, absolutely. Still time on the clock and still time for you to pose your question on this edition of Basic Gospel, 1-800-677-9377. And a question that kind of feeds into what we're talking about here, this is from Kelly in Tampa, Florida. Concerning church leaders and people who teach the Levitical law, if they know and understand that the Old Covenant and Levitical priesthood were replaced by the New Covenant and the priesthood ushered in by Christ, whether intentional or not, will they be held accountable for those they kept under the law?
It's a good question. I mean, the gospel message is Jesus. It's all of Jesus. And that's I think that's why Scripture gives some warnings to teachers. But we certainly try to mix, don't we?
Oh, yeah. There's a key phrase that she added at the beginning of the question was, if they know. I'll bet you most teachers and preachers don't know. They're teaching what they were taught. They're trying their best. They love their people. They love the Lord. But they are so confused themselves that we shouldn't be surprised. I used to wrestle with this because those kind of teachers drove me crazy. And I wanted to go out and whack them upside the head with a 2x4 and, you know, clean up the streets. And God worked with me for a long time on that because he kept reminding me that I used to be one of those guys. And if he could get to me, he can get to them. And that's his job, not mine. So, you know, we get frustrated when we hear error, but God's not intimidated by that. He's not unable to deal with the people who are listening. He's not unable to deal with the people who are teaching it. Let him do what he's going to do. And, you know, just keep telling the truth yourself as best you understand it.
Absolutely. And the Bible does say there are false prophets out
sure.
there, and they intend to deceive. But in their intention to deceive, they become deceived themselves.
Yes.
And that's a sad tragedy. But they're doing it for their own benefit, their own gain, their own financial reward. So there are false prophets out there, and they intend to deceive you, to trick you, to capture you in such a way that you are in their debt. But somebody that is really interested in truth, maybe they don't have all the truth right now. Maybe they're still wrestling. Maybe they're still struggling. Maybe they haven't just laid it out and have taken it to its ultimate conclusion. But God's going to keep working with them.
Sure.
And he will use that in a very, very powerful way. I know there are many pastors and teachers. I think of Timothy Riles up in Harlem, New York at the Beulah Baptist Church. He started listening to our program a number of years ago, came to conferences, and boy, he went back to his congregation, and they knew his heart. They knew he was genuine, knew he was sincere, and they really responded when he said, you know, I've been teaching you wrong. I have missed the boat on what this gospel message is. I've burdened you with things I shouldn't have burdened you with, and so today we're gonna lift that burden. We're going to remove it. We're going to rest confidently in the grace of God, and they responded in such a powerful, powerful way. So God used that in a way that probably meant more to those that Timothy had taught than if he had done it in a different way. So we can leave that in God's hands.
Yes.
We really, really can. But I think that's a wonderful question.
It is quite a great question.
Yeah, well, thanks, Kelly. We appreciate hearing from you. Another question from Kurt, who writes to us from McKinleyville, California. How do I relate to the Holy Spirit? I know the Bible speaks to eternal life as a relationship with the Father and with the Son. I'm not sure how to relate to the Holy Spirit. Should I ask the Holy Spirit to teach me each time I open my Bible? Thanks for any insight you may have for me concerning the Holy Spirit. That's from Kurt in McKinleyville, California.
Well, I think that last aspect of the question has a one-word answer, yes. When you go into the Word of God, you rely upon the Spirit of God to teach you the meaning of the Word of God. This is a spiritual book. It's revealed to us spiritually. Just as Peter, when he was asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" by Jesus, mm-hmm. he stood up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus immediately said, "Well, Peter, God the Father revealed that to you." There was no other way for him to gain that information, to have that knowledge that he did, apart from the revelation of God. And it's the same for us. If the Spirit of God isn't going to reveal the meaning of the Word to us, then it's always going to be a mystery. It's going to be locked up, something that we will never be able to unlock and experience. So we have to rely on the Spirit of God to teach us truth.
Yes. One of the aspects of a relationship with the Spirit is that we tend to separate the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as if they are three completely independent entities. And they're not. The Spirit is Jesus. Jesus is God. God is the Spirit. They're all one. And so, it's not accidental that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 that we have the mind of Christ. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. So if you're in relationship with Jesus, you are in relationship with the Spirit and with God the Father. That it all comes as a wonderful package.
Right, absolutely. We sense God's presence through mm-hmm. the Spirit. We live in His presence through the Spirit. But the Word of God lists out a number of things that the Spirit of God does in and through us.
Yes.
He teaches us truth. He gives us an understanding of the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God, and enables us to live that out on a day-to-day basis. He takes the things of the Lord Jesus and makes them known to us. He just does all of those things. And we need to trust Him to carry out His job in and through us. He also gives us desires. As Paul writes in Galatians 5, we have the desires of the Spirit. Well, if we have the desires of the Spirit, then we have the desires of God, and we have the desires of Jesus.
Yes.
And so we walk in the Spirit. That's our way of life now, is walking in the Spirit. And when we carry out those desires in day-to-day life. They don't just sit inside of us. They find expression in and through us. So mm-hmm. this relationship with the Spirit is a dynamic relationship, truly a life-changing relationship.
Yes, indeed. Quickly, a final question from Don in Wixom, Michigan. Do the teachings of Jesus and the Gospels that occurred before His resurrection apply to us today or not? Why would Jesus teach the disciples the Lord's Prayer if after the resurrection parts of it or all of it had no more application?
Great question. Some of the teachings of Jesus apply to us. We're forward-thinking. Mm-hmm. They were looking beyond the cross to how we were to live. John 15, I think, is a perfect example of that. Abide in the vine, and you will bear much fruit. Who was he talking about? Who's the vine? Jesus.
Yes.
So we as believers are to abide in the vine of Christ. There's other aspects of his teaching that were meant to bury people, to really drive them to a point where they would ask the question, just in sheer utter hopelessness and helplessness, what must I do to be saved? And if they get to that point, they're ready to receive him. So we just look at the context and figure out from there what Jesus was trying to communicate.
Well, thanks to everybody for joining us for this edition. If you like what you hear on this broadcast, we hope that you'll step up to the plate and help us keep it coming, keep the good news coming. It requires financial resources to remain on the air. In fact, we need to see additional donations this month of $250,000. And we know a lot of you in our daily audience are able to make a gift of $250 minimum without even missing a beat. You know what? If only 1,000 of you did so, that would meet the need. Or if 250 of you would make a gift of $1,000 today, that also would meet the need. We hope that you'll be one of these. We need that kind of support from you, and we need it before the end of the month. But we also know that every gift, no matter the size, helps and makes a difference. So please, join in the celebration of Christmas with us with a gift today. Whatever you can do, we need you to be a part of the ongoing support of Basic Gospel. Give what you can, and may God bless and multiply your gift. As a reminder, the booklet that we talk about, Forgiveness, the Doorway to Life, it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828, and you can do that right now. That's 1-800-727-2828, or visit us online at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net for the booklet, Forgiveness, the Door to Life, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the staff, I'm Bob Davis saying God bless you and inviting you to join us again Monday for an Eve of Christmas Eve edition, a live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.